Welcome to All Sides with Anna Stever. The holidays are right around the corner, a time when gift shopping creeps to the top of our to-do lists, which is why we here at All Sides wanted to give a holiday twist to our fascinating Ohioan show. This month, we're going to be highlighting Ohio artists, painters, potters, leather workers, woodworkers, people who grow up with plants, all in an effort to help you get spark ideas to shop locally. We're going to begin today with two artists in Yellow Springs who create pottery that is as beautiful as it is useful. Joining us is David Hergesheimer and Evelyn Lemaire. They are artists that are part of Yellow Springs Pottery. David, Evelyn, welcome to All Sides.
Hi, Anna.
Good morning.
So your shop has so many beautiful pieces to look at. There are teapots, mugs, vases, birdhouses, but every single piece is handcrafted, correct?
That's right.
And it's, Evelyn, I understand you've been doing this for 50 years?
50 years and counting.
Oh my goodness. How did you get into pottery?
Well, my mother was a flower arranger competitively as a hobby.
And oh my goodness.
And she needed some specific ceramic containers. And I was in college and she suggested I should take a ceramics class as an elective so that I could make her some containers for her flower arranging. And so I did and discovered that I liked clay and that I was good at it. And after I graduated, I set up my own studio.
What about you, David? How did you come to pottery?
Well, I also started in college here at Antioch, and that's where I met Evelyn, actually. And I took a number of ceramic classes, but at that time, the early 70s, it didn't seem like ceramics was a viable career. But then I traveled and ended up a bit later in Japan, where it's a very viable career and has been for thousands of years. So I got apprenticed and worked in Japan for 7 years. And then Evelyn visited and convinced my family and I to come back here to Yellow Springs.
How do you think your experience in Japan shaped the pottery you make today?
Well, several of the items that I make are Japanese items, grating plates, suribachi, things like that.
Sake sets.
Sake sets, right?
Oh, yeah.
But more than anything, I think it's the attitude in Japan that ceramics is not a hobby, it's not a fad, it's an integral part of the culture, and people take it very seriously. And you know, obviously generations have worked at perfecting different kinds of ceramics. So that spoke to me as something that I wanted to be part of.
So Yellow Springs Pottery is kind of fascinating to me. You guys are a collective of different potters that all sell your work in the same place, right? Is that a fair explanation?
The word we use is a cooperative. In the sense that we are individuals and each person has their own studio, their own kiln, their own glaze recipes. And some of our members sell other places at art fairs or online. But we are a group, a cooperative, owning and running this retail store. And so we share the expenses of the store. We take turns minding the store and do the jobs, the bookkeeping, the advertising, et cetera. And we opened in 1973.
Yeah. So what kind of gifts could we get? Obviously, you know, when you think handmade pottery, I think like coffee mug. That's probably the low price point entryway. But what are some other ideas?
Well, this is the season for entertaining. And we have quite a few trays, serving bowls, baking dishes that are perfect for a small get-together or a big family party. Sushi trays are very, very popular. We have all kinds of sushi trays as well.
And if somebody really loves floral arranging, Evelyn, do you have a variety of vases for them to try out?
More than you could ever count. That's something, once my mother sent me on that track, I've stayed on it. And I'm not the only one that makes vases. And when people come into the store, they will see fresh flowers, live flowers, in a sampling of the vases, of the different styles of vases, so that people can see what that vase would look like with flowers in their home. And we have, you know, traditional tall, slim vases, and we also have low, wide ones with a pin holder in, which you use for more stylish. It's called Ikebana, a Japanese style of flower arranging, but it's something that anyone can teach themselves in 30 seconds, and they can look and see what we've done and know how to use the piece when they get home.
Is that the ones with all the little holes, and you put like the stems into all the different holes?
Well, it's a pin holder, so that's spiky.
And it
spears the stem so that you can use an iris that's, you know, a foot tall, and just there's a little water in the bottom, and you just spear it and it will stay vertical. Or if you want to have two and have them at a slight angle, you can do that. We can even show you how to do it when you walk in the door.
Is there like a hole in the center of the spike so like the water goes up, or how does that work?
Well, the spike is glued to the bottom of the tray.
Oh, and then the water's, so cool. I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
So the water, yeah.
Come right in. We're open 7 days a week.
What is something like that going to run me?
Probably anywhere from say $20 up to maybe $50 or $60, depending on the size and how complex it is.
That's not bad at all, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely giftable for the holidays.
Most people comment that our prices are very reasonable.
Yeah. Is one of the things I always wonder about, how do we care for these kinds of things? Because a lot of times, is anything that you make microwave safe, dishwasher safe? Like, you know, for people who, if I have somebody in my life who is absolutely not going to hand wash something ever.
Right. Well, we are very practical people, and we expect our customers to, you know, have it easy time taking care of the work. So every piece goes out with a care card that says ovenware, microwave, dishwasher safe.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And the work is made to last. If you take care of it, this work will be around for hundreds or even thousands of years. I mean, you just have to be a little careful that you don't drop it on a concrete floor. So.
Yeah, I've got tile in my kitchen. It's dangerous. Anything hits that tile, it can shatter.
Well, you can always come back and buy another one. And that happens. People come in and they say, I broke my favorite mug yesterday. I've had it for years and I'm back to buy another. Oh, good. You still have them, like what I have. I mean, this happens. It's okay.
No, for sure. You know, Do either of you have a favorite item that you make?
I guess one that I've been making for 40 years now is the grating plate, oroshi zara. In Japan, they use a lot of daikon, big white radish, as a condiment. And so I make these flat, small, about 7-inch wide little tray. And then my wife puts in with a bamboo comb. She brings up little teeth out of the wet clay. And once it's fired, it's very, very strong. And we glaze them in different colors, and they can hang on the wall. And you can use it for grating ginger, garlic, lemon peel, all kinds of things. So it's both attractive and pretty useful.
Oh my gosh, I'm a baker and I love using lemon zest and stuff, but I find zesting with like a cheese grater to be one of the biggest pains in my butt.
Come on down.
You need to come. You need a vase and you need a grater. We can tell.
Yeah, no, the grater sounds really fascinating to me as a baker. Are there any other things you would recommend if somebody just like really loves to cook and bake?
We have, as I said, any number of baking dishes, pie plates, casseroles, and even our large bowls, which would look like a fruit bowl. You can certainly put a casserole in those and put them in the oven and bake in those big bowls as well.
I like that a lot of it sounds food safe too, because some of that, like sometimes when I see like secondhand pottery, especially like out at like a vintage shop, you're like, ooh, is that safe to eat off of?
Yes, everything in here is absolutely food safe. There's no worry about that. The problem you're talking about is more things that come from, less developed countries. They fire at lower temperatures, and sometimes they'll use chemicals like lead. But nobody in this country has used lead in pottery for decades. So it's absolutely safe.
Can you tell me a little bit about your process, Evelyn? Like, how do you freeform? Do you mold cast? How do you decide on a new design?
Okay, first thing is I order clay, and I get a ton of clay every year. So that's the beginning. And I have a wheel, so some of my work is thrown, like all my mugs I throw on the wheel.
Oh, great.
And I usually start with a 3/4 pound ball of clay, and so I'll make 2 or 3 dozen 3/4 pound balls of clay, and then we'll sit down and throw in a couple hours 2 or 3 dozen mugs. And I'm doing a shape that we are production potters, so we are repeating shapes that we that are successful and that we like. And so then I set them out to dry for half a day, and then I trim and smooth the bottom. So that's finished, and I put the handle on, and that takes another couple hours. And then the mugs dry for 2, 3, 4 days, and then they go in the kiln, and a bisque kiln, which is low temperature, fires for about 8 or 10 hours. And I'll fill the whole kiln, not just with those mugs. A kiln will hold a couple hundred pieces. And then I have to glaze them all, and I make my own glazes using dry chemicals that I weigh out on an old chem lab beam scale. And you combine the dry chemicals with water in small garbage cans. And I make usually 5 to 10,000 grams of glaze, which would be, I don't know, 10 gallons. I never measured it. And all the pieces get glazed, mostly by dipping, just dipping in one coat and out, maybe one color on the inside and another on the outside. So you have a powdery surface, and then it gets loaded into the glaze kiln, which takes 3 or 4 hours to put in 200 pieces carefully, no two touching, the right colors on the right shelves. And it's fired with propane gas, and it takes about 12 hours to go from the time I start till it gets to the maximum temperature, which is about 2300 Fahrenheit. And then it cools for 2 days. And then I lift the lid, and all the pieces come out, and they come inside, and I inspect them and sand the bottom if it feels a little bit rough, and put price tags on, and they come down to the shop.
That's the beauty, I think.
That's the life of a mug.
Yeah, sometimes I don't think we appreciate just how much work goes into handmade gifts.
Yeah, every piece gets handled several times, you know, from the time you make it to trimming it to loading it in one kiln, unloading it, glazing it, putting it in a kiln again. So it's, yeah, there's a lot of handwork on each piece.
But all my vases pretty much are hand-built. And by that, I mean, I roll out the clay into a big flat slab. Actually, I have a slab roller. And I can make slabs of clay that are maybe 1/4 inch thick that are 2 by 3 feet. And I can make 8 of them, and that'll cover my work table, which is 4 by 8 feet. And then I have cardboard patterns to cut out shapes. Some of my vases are rectangular, and some of them are triangular, and some of them are wedge-shaped. Anyway, I cut out all these pieces, and then I can assemble them as though the patterns are like sewing patterns in the sense that you have all these cardboard patterns that you've made, and you fit them as tight as you can so as not to have much scraps. and then you put them together the same way you might put plywood together in the sense of gluing edges, only I'm using slip, which is liquid clay, and putting the edges together with pressure. And you let it dry slowly, they'll stay together.
Yeah, it kind of sounds a little bit like how you cut out Christmas sugar cookies, or how you make gingerbread houses and assemble them all together.
How you make gingerbread houses is exactly the concept. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Oh, that's great. So,
and I even bake and decorate them just like gingerbread houses.
That's awesome. So for those who can't make it down to Yellow Springs, I understand that you guys also offer shipping.
That's right. We ship, people call up all the time and they want a specific mug or a platter. And I have a garage full of boxes and packing material. And generally we can get something out the next day.
What would you say is the last day if, you know, someone anywhere in Ohio, if they want it by Christmas?
Oh boy. It depends if you're willing to pay, you know, the overnight. I'd say probably... in Ohio, if I get a call, if we get an order by, say, the 20th, it'll probably be there before Christmas.
Great. Well, the website, if you're looking for inspiration, is yellowspringspottery.com. What are the store hours?
It's 12 to 6 o'clock every day. And on Saturdays, we open at 10 in the morning. So it's 10 to 6, and we're open 7 days a week. We're open right up through Christmas Eve, and then we're open December 26th until New Year's. And January 2nd, we reopen, and we're open pretty much every day of the year.
That was David Hergesheimer. I hope I said that correctly.
Yeah, close enough. Hergesheimer.
Thank you so much. And Evelyn Lemaire, thank you too.
Thank you. Thanks for the program, and I hope you'll come visit.
Oh, I'm coming for one of those graders. Absolutely.
Okay.
Coming up, gifts for the plant lover in your life. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Anna Staver. With the holidays right around the corner, we're putting a twist on the fascinating Ohio show, highlighting local artisans, their businesses, and gift ideas to help you shop locally. Our second guest is a plant lover. And if you step inside Cole's Plants on North High Street, green is the primary color that greets you from floor to ceiling. Nicole Sykes is founder of Cole's Plants, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Great. Also joining us is Betsy Pandora, Executive Director of the Short North Alliance, which is coordinating the Short North Holiday Hop, where Nicole will be selling some of her plants. Welcome back to All Sides, Betsy.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Nicole, you're one of the participating shop owners in the Holiday Hop. And it's a new location for you. So tell us about your store. Tell us about how you got into plants.
We opened up in Columbus about 2.5 years ago. I actually am a teacher and I own childcare centers in Columbus. And during COVID, when a lot of the programs had shut down, I moved to Virginia and opened a plant store. Through that transition, my son is a Marine, so I had to move back to Columbus and do some work at our center. So I moved the store back home.
You know, I think all of us picked up a pandemic hobby, and mine was propagating plants for sure. So I definitely feel that. So, you know, what kind of, if you have somebody who loves plants, who has like every kind of plant you can think of, what would be a funky or something unique, something they might not already have that you could give them?
Currently, we have some curved Christmas cactus that are amazing. We also sell a lot of philodendrons that I noticed that a lot of people in Columbus just were not into as much. We started selling those about 6 months ago, and I think those are probably like our top sellers currently. We have every type of philodendron you could possibly think of.
And they also don't have to be super expensive gifts, right? You have a lot of plants, $20 or less.
Oh, yeah. Most of our plants are 4 and 6 inch are somewhere between $14 to $24. A lot of our things are easy care. My idea was, if we're in the short north, we knew we were going to see a lot of students, a lot of graduates from OSU, and we want to have some things that anyone can care for, not just people that, oh, I have a million plants in my home.
Yeah, if somebody, say, feels like they have a black thumb, if they feel like they kill everything, what is an, I don't know, unkillable plant?
Oh, my go-to for most people are ZZs. We also have a black raven ZZ where they come
Ooh,
out of
what
lime
is that?
Green. It's the ZZ plant, traditionally, a lot of people see it as just one shade of green. But the black raven ZZ comes out a lime green color, and it goes through this transition where it turns like a bright red to a purple. And it is a gorgeous plant. You only have to water it once a month. It can do basement low light for a lot of people that stay in the downtown area that don't have a lot of sunlight. So I would definitely say the Raven ZZ is my go-to.
It also sounds like it might be good for an office plant.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the traditional one that always comes to mind is the peace lily, right? Because it survives in like all kinds of conditions. But this one sounds objectively cooler. No, I have a peace lily that's like 15 years old, so I'm not going to hate on it too much.
No, not too much. They're not my number one pick, but when they're in bloom, I love them.
Yeah, they can be. Do you offer any kind of care recommendations? I think that's one of the things about shopping at a local plant shop. You can get that, like, okay, this is how you take care of it. This is what it likes. This is what it doesn't like. It's that personal touch.
Yeah, we have the opportunity to actually talk to customers about plants, not just someone come in the store, hope something's going to work at home. And then we also provide them a care card that tells them what lighting the plant needs, how much watering it will need, how often, you know, you will need to water the plant, and also if they're pet friendly or not. So they have something
important
that they could take home with them and not be like, oh my God, what did she just say?
Yeah, because aren't poinsettias actually deadly for animals?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I said, aren't poinsettias actually deadly for animals?
Yeah, there are a lot of plants that are not pet friendly, but we have a huge selection in the store that are pet friendly also.
Yeah. Betsy, I want to bring you in here. The Short North Arts Holiday Hop starts on Saturday from noon to 8 p.m. Is that correct?
That is correct. This is a longstanding tradition in the Short North Arts District. The largest gallery hop of the year is always the last one in December. And this is our second year where we are shutting down High Street and filling the street with hundreds of small artisan vendors featuring handmade items, locally sourced items, and highlighting the work of our incredible business community, like folks like Nicole, who will all be doing special things as well throughout the day.
What special things are you going to be doing, Nicole?
So I think we're going to have a Secret Santa in shop for some of the children that come in. We also have a huge array of gifts so that people are, since they're walking around, everyone may not want to walk around with a plant. We have some Santa plant care gifts, and it's a box. They're wrapped perfectly. We do also sell a lot of home items where people can purchase like incense and candles. We even have some spray that we use in the shop. And we also have a line that we just picked up that is shower steamers, and it's called Rituals. And it's something that I use at home, and it's been flying off our shelves. So we're super excited about that also.
Oh, a little fun self-care. So that you also, Betsy, have by popular demand the Little Shops, which is a selection of items for kid-friendly. What is the Little Shop?
Well, Little Shop is where if you are a kid or kid at heart, you can visit a number of our participating retailers like Nicole, and you can be able to get minimally priced items so that you can give those as gifts to think a little kid wanting to pick out something for their parents. It's a fun way that highlights, I think, the diversity of our business community and the many things that appeal to a lot of folks and a lot of price points.
Yeah, no offense to my children's school, but they have a penguin patch, but it's always, I don't know, the stuff there is not good.
Well, I can tell you that the stuff that you will find in our Short North community will be fun and exciting. Something that's really cool about our business community is that sometimes the gifts that you give are not necessarily a physical gift, but they're the gift of experiences. And so if you think of what Nicole does in her shop every day, you can go in there and have an experience actually assembling and making your plant or taking a class. And there are things like that that take place throughout our district. And I know that those are featured prominently among all of our businesses, not only throughout the day on Saturday, but every day of the year.
What are some other shops that are participating?
So we have over 80 businesses that are participating in not only the Little Shops experience, but our holiday trail. The Short North Arts District holiday trail kicked off on Black Friday, goes through the end of the year. If you make 3 purchases at participating businesses, you can get a free item from Winans, Mission Coffee, North Star, or Vela & Co. is giving away a branded Short North candle that you could also make in store there. And so that's a great way that you can support our small business community. The majority of the business community are businesses that are small and locally owned and headquartered businesses. The types of businesses that really devote care and attention to not only handmade items, artisan made items, but locally sourced items. If you're a little kid, you can enjoy finding the elf on the shelf of those businesses as well. So you don't have to necessarily make a purchase. You can just have fun moving about our Short North community, too, and you still get the same benefits of the treats from those businesses.
Yeah, our elf has been in full swing for a couple of days already.
That's good.
I'm already tired.
That's so good.
Nicole, I understand that you have an obligation, so we probably need to let you go. But where do we find you online? Where can people find your store? Tell us how to look at all the plants that you got.
You can find us at Kohl's Plant 614 on Instagram. And then also our website is www.kohlsplants.net.
That was Nicole Sykes, founder of Kohl's Plants. Thank you so much. I'm very curious about this Black Raven plant. I'm going to have to circle back.
You got to come check us out.
For sure. You know, all right. Yeah, thank you. You know, Betsy, I think one of the things I like most about shopping locally is that intimate experience that, like, you can have a conversation with Nicole about plants and how not to kill them.
That's
or
right.
Meet the person who made the mug that you're gifting.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, in the Short North Arts District, we are a community of creators, of makers, of people who truly love the craft of what it is that they do. And that could be in, you know, Nicole's plant shop, right? But it can also be in the handmade food items, in the retail stores where you find, you know, curated clothing, and among our fine art galleries who are truly representing incredible artisans through the visual art that they present and the other art forms that they present as well.
And I understand that if you don't feel like wrapping your gift, you can get free gift wrapping?
We have you covered on Saturday. So on Saturday for Holiday Hop from noon to 8, you can stop by 876 North High Street, where we will be offering free gift wrapping. We are suggesting donations to benefit our work in the Short North community, specifically in serving the most vulnerable in our community. But we can take care of wrapping the gift for you, so you don't even need to worry after you've picked it up.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, for those of us who might struggle with wrapping, it might be better than we could do ourselves.
There you go. We're pretty creative, so we can make you look wonderful.
And if people don't want to drive or they're concerned about parking, I understand you have a Lyft discount?
We do. We have a couple of great options. So all of our parking garages will be open and accessible. And if you park in any of those garages before 5 p.m., your first hour of parking can be free with validation. You can pick up validations at the info booths that will be located directly in the street or among the participating businesses who offer validation. All of them are listed on our website at shortnorth.org. But if you don't even want to worry about driving, we have a great promotion with Lyft where you can get a discount code so that you can make it a little bit easier for you to come down and not have to worry about how you get home either. Those discount codes are available also on shortnorth.org.
That's great. Do you, I hate to ask this, it's always such a difficult question. Do you have a favorite shop or place that's participating?
I'm not allowed to pick favorites. But what I can tell you is I enjoy the experiences of others in the Short North community. And I think what our Short North community delivers more than anything is that sense of connection, with how people are creating and inspiring in the Columbus community. But there are some very cool things that are going to be taking place. One of them is a collaboration that we actually have, the Short North Alliance has, with Ransom Supply. Ransom Supply is a newer retailer in the Short North community. It's been there for about a year. They feature local Columbus brands and their own designs. And we have a special collaboration with one of their brands, Made Reese, that is a Short North Arts line of clothing.
Oh, my goodness.
You can get hoodies, you can get sweatshirts, T-shirts, and very cute bags. The first 100 people on Saturday that pop into Ransom Supply will get a free a limited edition Short North tote bag. And 10% of the proceeds of the sales of all of that brand's line will go to benefit the work of the Short North Alliance. Again, in helping to support our most vulnerable in the community through our outreach services and other services that elevate the work of artists.
I'm going to have to go check out what this pattern, what
it's
the design
so
looks like.
It's so, so, so cute. We'll have to send you some of it.
Can you find it online?
Yes, you can. Yeah. If you go to our Instagram page, we've just started posting what the designs look like. So you can check it out.
I'm resisting the urge to touch my phone while on air. A very millennial urge to be like, oh, I'll look it up right now.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds like a lot of fun. So the Short North Holiday Hop, noon to 8 p.m. on Saturday.
That's correct. And it is all taking place in a closed high street. So we'll have over 100 artisan vendors set up in the road. Those vendors have handmade items, local art, vintage, lots of fun things maybe to eat, maybe to drink that you can find in the street as well. Lots of hot beverages. Weather is starting to look a little bit warmer than it is today, that's for sure. And then maybe it's as it's been looking all week. So what's great about Holiday Hop is that you don't have to spend all of your time outside. You can pop into all of our stores. You can be leisurely about it because we are there all day from 12 to 8.
Yeah. And cool. I mean, that's what hot apple cider's for.
That's right. And if you make 3 purchases, you can get a free one.
There you go. That was Betsy Pandora, Executive Director of the Short North Alliance. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thanks for highlighting the work of so many local artists in our community.
Coming up, an artist and illustrator who weaves mythology into her work. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Anna Stever. Our fascinating Ohioan show is getting a holiday twist this December. We're highlighting Ohio artists, their businesses, and gift ideas to help you shop locally. Our final guest today is Evangelia Filipidis. an artist and storyteller. You can find her art this weekend at Winter Fair at the Ohio Expo, or you can find her at the Ohio Craft Museum. Welcome to All Sets.
Thank you for having me.
I hope I did your name justice.
You did. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So you were born and raised in Athens, Greece.
Correct.
And it seems like that ancestry, Greek mythology, really influences your art.
Very much so, yes. Well, ancient Greek mythology resonates, you know, the lessons that it taught, that they were written for to begin with, resonates through the issues of today as well. And I was a visual journalist for 22 years at the Columbus Dispatch. And so, you know, that was a really great way for me to do editorial work, is referencing the ancient Greek mythology. And that carried on into my fine art after I left the Dispatch.
Ah, we are both former Dispatch employees. Small world.
Yes, it is.
We didn't overlap, though, in time.
No, I don't think so. I left in 29. Or, yeah. I'm sorry, 2009.
Yeah, I came in 2019, so like a decade later.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I loved about looking through your work is it reminded me a little bit of, I did a, like, printmaking class in high school where you, like, carve away the different layers, and it had that, like, that flow, that feel to it.
Very much so. The technique is called, most people call it scratchboard. That to me sounds like something a cat does. So I'd like to call it sgraffito, because that just sounds so much more elegant.
It does.
And that's exactly what it is. It's a technique that goes back thousands of years. If you think about the red clay, red figure clay. Vases that you see in ancient Greece. So it's the same process. You're working in reverse. So if anyone ever were to ask me to put black ink on white paper, I could not see it, but I could take it away.
No, I love that. It's in some ways that reminds me of sculpting, where you see the block and you see the thing within it.
Right. Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah. And I'm a big fantasy and sci-fi reader, and I love, like, the mythological series that you do. It's so fun. It has that air of fantasy to it.
It does, and it also celebrates women, powerful women, which is, you know, if you look at the current trend in writing, you see a lot of those ancient Greek female voices starting to come out. And so the timing has been very right.
In doing that, yeah. You have a nice portrait of Artemis.
Yes.
Which I really like. For, like, those, it's she's the goddess of the animal kingdom.
Correct.
And the hunt.
And the hunt.
Yeah.
And the moon. Yes, and she's quote-unquote a virgin goddess. So,
oh, that's right.
Very, very powerful woman, as most of the goddesses were.
Yeah.
And women in mythology were as well. So.
Yeah. There's a kids podcast called Greeking Out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's like tells kid-friendly versions of all the Greek myths, and my children love it. So we've listened to a ton.
Yeah, I remember the kid-friendly versions, and then the shock of reading the real things, and I thought, whoa.
It does. They do talk about death and dying and stuff.
They do.
But it's a fun podcast. But so when I was looking through a lot of your work, I was like, oh, I know that one. I know that one. And I know it from this kid's podcast. But I think my favorite piece that you had was River of Life.
Yes, that's a very personal piece for me. It's one of my private collections. I was misdiagnosed with cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
In 2018, misdiagnosed.
Jeez.
And
Louise.
So knowing my mother, who's a goddess herself, took a look at me and she says, you're going to be fine. And I'm like, I know, Mama. But that inspired it in terms of we go through dark times in our lives. But if we believe that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, at the end of the darkness, there's always, you know, a divine spirit that leads us. And so that's a very personal piece for me.
I wonder, yeah, it's haunting and captivating. It's a woman who appears to be sleeping in a boat in a body of water, but there is a light hanging from the end of the boat.
Right, right. And then there's butterflies,
yes,
that are surrounding her, which are the souls of those powerful women, in my case, that, you know, I accessed, and their hard times and how they persevered through them. Because I'm an immigrant to this country, and I'm a daughter of refugees on both sides of, you know, they all, you know, definitely persevered over horrible, horrible wars and starvation. So that's, and then if you notice in the back, there's a raven, and
yes,
that's the divine, you know, the divine voice that helps get you through. The river is actually called the Aharon, and it is one of the five rivers that lead to the underworld. And I was there right before I was diagnosed, and I had this vision of this piece. And so when the misdiagnosis came through, I thought, that's what I need to do. So.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much more now knowing the backstory to it. I just, something about it caught me, and I was like, oh, I like that.
There are prints available, but the original's not for sale.
So. No, but I think the print was about $75, so it wasn't, right, yeah, like, insurmountable. It's pretty reasonably priced.
Yeah, most of my work is, all of my prints are limited edition. There are only 20 that I do. And then they are archival links, archival papers. So they'll last a couple hundred years.
I also love you have, you're not afraid of some puns in your animal pieces. Like, it's good to be queen. It's a print of a bee. As somebody who works with words for a living, I appreciate a good pun.
Well, hopefully I learned something after 22 years with some of the best journalists ever, you know, in Central Ohio and the area. So, yes, they rubbed off on me quite a bit.
No, it's fun. The animal portraits have, like, I mean, you know, we were talking about River of Life, and it's like haunting nature, but some of the animal ones are just beautiful and fun, and I could see them even in a nursery.
Mm-hmm, very much so. I love music. I'm inspired by it. I'm inspired by poetry. And then I love, you know, 22 years I did very serious editorial stuff, for the most part, editorial work. And so I wanted to expand on that and do some very fun and whimsical things. And so the music and the animals. The latest one I did was Tudor Troubadours, and, you know, Anne Boleyn is a swan with this long neck, and Henry VIII is a warthog, aptly. So playing.
You know, like, here's the thing. I have long had a weird obsession with Anne Boleyn. It started when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I think she's given entirely too much agency for the context of the time in which she was alive.
Absolutely.
But neither here nor there. I'm going to have to check that one out just because I have a weird, enduring fixation on her.
Yeah, I totally get that. I totally get that. Yeah. She was something else.
Yeah, you also have, like, a series on powerful women.
Absolutely. In 22, I did a solo exhibition at the Cultural Arts Center, and it was called Daughters of Athena. Some people were like, well, she was a virgin goddess. Yeah, I know, but we are all daughters of Athena, really, of that powerful deity. And there were 48 pieces all about dynamic women through history as well as through mythology.
How did you decide who you wanted to put?
Oh, my gosh.
Feel like it could have been a collection of 400 pieces.
Yes. Well, the collection has not stopped. It's something that will continue. I really don't know, to be honest with you. It was, I read a lot, and that reading leads to research. And so, as in the terms of research, I'll think if I see something, I read a piece about a book about a woman, a biography, and then the image forms in my mind, usually during my sleep, and then I continue through there. A lot of times, too, there were several pieces that were inspired by places I visited in Greece. I go back home as often as I can, and there were several pieces that I visit those places, and I see those women that populated during history, and that'll bring a vision during my sleep. I don't sleep very well.
Do you keep like a notebook by your bed to jot down things when you wake up?
I try to get out of bed because my husband is like, there she goes again. Go back to sleep, Evangelia. I can't. I got it. So I get up and I either write something down or I start a quick sketch and then try and go back to sleep.
I kind of love that your creativity wakes you up from sleep.
I do too, actually. I don't think that I have ever had a complete full night's sleep, but that's okay.
No, I mean that it's so persistent, that desire to create, that it's like shaking you awake.
I am literally obsessed with doing art. I have two great passions. One is my dogs. The other one is my art. Three. And then my mother. My mother's a great passion. She's an amazing woman. She really is.
Have you ever done her portrait?
I have. If you look, there's one called Tempest Temptress, and it's of a woman laying on a rock in the middle of the ocean, surrounded by all these animals, these aquatic animals. And that's taken a picture of my mother when she was a refugee in Greece. There's actually a photograph of her laying on a rock, and she is, you know, her black hair is just, you know, flying in the wind, and it's just one of my favorite pictures of her.
You've also been an educator at the Columbus College of Arts and Design.
Yes, I have. I started that in 1995 and just retired in May. It's great, great time to, you know, pass on that passion to a new generation. And I don't have any children of my own, but I have hundreds of former students that still, you know, will call up and say, guess what, I just got a new job, or it was wonderful. It was a very difficult decision to make, but I needed to make it, so yeah.
Yeah, I think when you really love what you do, it's incredibly hard to figure out when to let it go.
Very much so. It took me 5 years to make the decision. It really did, and it only came because my mom needed me more, so yeah.
So where can we find your stuff? We've been talking a lot about you, but where can we find you online? Where can we see your work in person?
Well, a couple of things. I have just signed up with Haley Gallery in New Albany, but the biggest promoter of my work and supporters of my work has been the Ohio Design Craft Museum. Those folks, I was back in the late 80s, Hal Stevens, who was running it at the time, kept saying, you need to do Winter Fair. And I'm like, I'm not good enough. I can't do Winter Fair. And he goes, yes, you are. Trust me. And finally, in 92, 93, I applied and started showing my work there. And they have been amazing. It is such a great institution. Like you said, Winter Fair is coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it is a marvelous Ohio Designer Craftsman is just a wonderful institution. It's not just Winter Fair. It is the museum. It is workshops and grants that they provide for artists. It is about promoting us. Those people have a great love for what they do and what they give to the artists that they work with.
And so then you'll have prints for sale?
I will have prints. I will have original art. I will have cards. That's a great thing about Winter Fair, is that we have a variety of price points. We can have something that is inexpensive, and we can have something that is, you know, several thousands of dollars, but all the work is original. It's something that you're going to pass on. Even the cards, people say, I don't have enough room for one of your big pieces, so they buy the cards and they frame them because they are also art.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a wonderful, it's the last show that I do of the year. It's my most successful show. I get to see people that I have seen, you know, over the years, that what have you done new? So that was the pressure on. Every year I have to have something new that I did. New friends, old friends. I can't say enough about the folks at the museum. They're incredible.
Yeah, you can find out about the event and the artists at ohiocraft.org under their events section. It's called Gifts of the Craftsman.
That actually goes through Christmas, and that's at there. Jim Riley does this incredible business of marketing, and he is the staging guru of it. I do want to give a shout out to Roxanne McGovern, who I don't know how that woman stays sane, keeping all of Winter Fair moving, and you know, running it all is Kim Nagorski, who quiet, steady, leader of the whole thing. So.
That was Evangelia Philippidis. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening to Fascinating Ohio here on All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.